informative, and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, our number two of Locked and Loaded. Aren't you the lucky folk out there? Not one, but 2 hours of this you get every morning. TNT Locked and Loaded. I'm Rick Munn. And what a blast we had during the first hour talking with Alex Mitchell. And also with the one and only Basil Valentine coming up this hour. I'm going to be talking to Gemma Cooper again, our fantastic news correspondent, in just a minute, but some of the breaking news that's happening in the UK and Ireland at this time. And then at 20 past, I'm going to be joined for the first time here on Locked and Loaded by David Hamill. David is involved with the Football Index Action Group, endeavouring to coordinate victims of the Football Index scandal in a fight for justice and reparation. So a lot of people lost a lot of money off the back of that. Still no justice, still no payouts, still no accountability on that. We're going to get an update of where they're at. And then to round the show off, the one and only Trevor John will be joining me from a secret location somewhere in Sussex in the UK. Yes, and we're going to be talking about that. I don't know, actually. I don't know what I've never planned what I'm going to talk to Trevor about, and I never will. So it's a very much a mixed bag when he comes on the show. So all that still ahead. Of course, we have a website, tntradio.live. You can go on there and listen to issues, episodes that you may have missed, or shows that you may have missed. You may have missed out on your favorite presenter. Maybe you hate all of us as presenters, but you like some of the guests. In that case, you can search for some special guests that we have on here. You can check out what's happening on our What's On calendar. You can order some tasty merchandise, become a walking TNT billboard with a tasty TNT t-shirt or a hoodie, mouse mat, coffee mug, pair of socks even. I think there's even some pet apparel available on there. Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm just hallucinating. A bandana possibly for your dog. I don't know. But get on there and check out our merchandise store. And also, of course, the live chat, where you can leave us a thought, comment, opinion, suggestion, meme, nasty comment, nice comment, compliment, criticism, whatever the hell you'd like, leave it on there on the live chat, tntradio.live. So what am I seeing this morning? Well, there's a lot of news headlines, actually, that I want to talk about with Gemma, one of which is to do with Simon Harris, the new Irish Taoiseach, when he was asked the question yesterday about making efforts to house foreigners and people that are spilling into the country, left, right and centre. Matty McGrath, the TD, said, why can't we make these efforts to house our own people? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Referring to refugee accommodation, Harris's reply was that such language worried him, and he described McGrath's comments as the language of division. Asking an Irishman why he can't make the same effort to house Irish people as he can to house Africans and Ukrainians was deemed to be, by the new Taoiseach, worrisome language. That was the language of division. What an absolute little rat Simon Harris, the new Taoiseach, is. We can get into that one in a little bit more detail. Here's another disturbing character. And the good thing about the world is when one disturbing character exits stage left, they are inevitably replaced by more disturbing characters coming in stage right. So in Australia at the minute, let's just look at what's happening in Oz. New South Wales Police Commissioner, Karen Webb, and she looks like a real piece of work, if you ask me. She has been out spouting on misinformation being spread online in the aftermath of two Sydney stabbing attacks. Now, this is what she had to say. Check this out, straight from the Jacinda Ardern playbook. Quote, Karen Webb, quote, there is misinformation being communicated across social media, but be assured, the police will be your source of truth. That sends shivers up and down my spine. Listen, Karen, I will decide who my source of truth is. And I'll tell you what, if she's listening in at the minute, she's probably having a hot bath right now, you know, trying to relax after a hard day's work in the New South Wales Police. I'm pretty sure she'll be listening to TNT right now. Karen, I will not be taking my cues from you or any other police department anywhere in the world when it comes to my source of truth. I'll do my own thinking. Thank you very much. The absolute audacity and the brass neck of this woman is beyond belief. And they have a new information, web monitoring czar. I'm going to have to dig up who she is, but she is on an absolute power trip. Oh, we've got levels we can take. We can take pages down. We can find people. We can go directly to Google if they don't comply with us. We can do this. We can do that. She's absolutely loving it. You know, something tells me she was bullied in the school playground. She had her lunch money removed a lot, and now she's going to take it out on you and me. And you know what? There's a message there. Stop bullying people in schools. Not only is it bad and wicked and evil, but you see those kids that you're bullying, they end up in government and then they make everybody's life hell because they have chips on their shoulders, okay? So don't do it. Bullying, say no to it and stand up to them. If you're getting bullied out there, my top advice is, doesn't matter how big they are, doesn't matter how intimidated you are, you smack them as hard as you can in the face. And even if you get a hiding at the end of it, they won't come back and bother you because you're trouble. All right, don't allow yourself to be bullied by anybody, anywhere, anytime. There's only one language that they understand, and trust me, it's a universal language, and they get the message, okay? But anyway, that's a little bit of ranting, anti-bullying campaigning from me here this morning on TNT. Gemma Cooper's incoming, so brace yourselves for that. We'll be right back after this short sweeper.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Why can't they just leave us alone, Gemma? Why can't they just leave us alone? Why do they have to keep pushing us? You ever see First Blood with John Rambo, Sylvester Stallone? All he wanted, Gemma, was a sandwich. He just wanted a sandwich. Sandwich. And instead he got pushed and pushed and he ended up taking an M60 and shooting up a whole town. Why didn't they just let him have a sandwich?
Well, do you know what? I watched that not long ago. I think I might have watched it after talking to you about it on here and realised something I'd never seen it. And I went and watched it. And what's interesting is right from the get-go, because he doesn't fit, it is the attitude of authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a metaphor, isn't it, for where we are and where we've always been. Mm-hmm. And you know, and he doesn't want any trouble. He just wants to be left alone. You know, mm-hmm. he's done his bit. And it's right from that moment when the car pulls up as he's walking along, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the guy mm-hmm. gets out. That is a really famous actor, isn't he? The guy who's
Brian Dennehy. His name was Brian Dennehy. Big dude.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his face says it all, you know, the contempt in which they hold us. That moment sets the tone for the film. If you haven't watched it, I was embarrassed to admit I hadn't ever watched it. It's classic. So brilliant. It is a classic and it speaks volumes now, I think, more than it ever did at the time of its release.
Well, here's a little bit of trivia for you. When that film was about to be released, Stallone almost didn't allow it to be released because it was actually 3 hours long. And the character of Rambo in it was horrible. He was a horrible character that nobody liked, in Stallone's own words. He was really belligerent and he was attacking young kids. He was torturing animals in the film, I kid you not. And he said, we can't release this film. Everyone's going to hate it. It's just going to be a flop. So they cut out all of those scenes and there's almost no dialogue whatsoever with Stallone in that film apart from, hey, don't push me. Hey, don't push me. Don't push me. And that's all he needed to say. He spoke. Actions speak louder than words. That was more Rocky than Rambo. Hey, yo, Adrian. Yo, Adrian. Don't push me. But anyway, enough of my appalling Stallone-esque impressions. But you get the picture, don't you?
I think that's the story you told me, actually. I remember that. And that's why I went off and watched it. And I was blown away. I thought it was a really amazing piece of cinema. And it is a shame, isn't it, the way that the franchise went. It started out as anti-violence, effectively, and, you know, and ended up this sort of kind of, you know, celebration of macho, you know, whatever you want. It just went down a path of money, didn't it? And probably Stallone had no say in that. But that first one is incredible and well worth a watch. Yeah, really good.
Jumping randomly from Sylvester Stallone and Brian Dennehy over to Scotland, we have to at least look at this one. It's quite incredible. Peter Merle, who is Nicola Sturgeon's husband, has been charged. He's actually been charged with embezzlement in an SNP finance probe. So the husband of First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has been charged. He's 59 years of age. He was taken into custody at 9:15 yesterday morning, Scotland time, questioned by Police Scotland. He was previously arrested on the 5th of April last year before being released with no charge. So he sort of wriggled off the hook a little bit last year, but The long arm of the Scottish law has caught up with him. And I'm looking at a picture of him here. I'm not sure if they cuffed him or not, but being arriving back home, well, he's probably not in cuffs, being taken away from the police station, arriving home from Falkirk Police Station, where he was questioned and charged with embezzlement. Little nippy Nicola has been very quiet on this issue. What do you think she makes of what her dodgy husband's been up to, allegedly?
Well, allegedly, I was about to say, you know, he has been charged, which means in the UK, at least proceedings are active. I know we're ostensibly a global Australian broadcaster, but we are the UK arm of TNT and the law applies to us as much as it does anyone. And be careful what you put on social media once somebody has been charged with any crime. If it's going to go to a jury, you have to be very careful. Well, she's not saying anything, possibly because proceedings are active. She's not saying anything because anything she does say will be seized upon by the media, mainstream and alternative, or us, new media. And also, she was arrested herself last year and released. And interestingly, as well, at the same point of the original arrest, a camper van, strangely, worth almost £100,000 was taken from Peter Murrell's mother's property in Scotland. And I mean, this does relate to kind of a specific set of finances, apparently, under this operation, which has been going on for 3 years now. So they clearly have been looking very intently at the finances and funding of the Scottish National Party. But it's £660,000 of donation money, which was to go towards the referendum on independence. That's the kind of a bit that they're really sort of drilling down on. That's what we know about this. And yeah, there were arrests last year, released without charge. And now that obviously there has been a charge in connection with embezzlement. And that is a serious offence. That is the misappropriation or theft effectively of funds entrusted to you or belonging to your employer. He was the chief executive of the Scottish National Party for 22 years before standing down. I think he's now resigned his Scottish National Party membership. And of course, Nicola Sturgeon stood down last year. She just stood down, just went. And old Humza Yousaf took her place. We don't know where this investigation is going to go. It's now going to go in the first instance to the Scottish version of the Crown Prosecution Service, the Prosecutor Fiscal. That's the Scottish kind of body that decides, should this go to court? Is there enough evidence? You know, we, you know, cases don't go to court unless you think you can win. There's a lot of money involved. So that will be the next stage. It will either be he's charged and the charges are dropped, or he's charged and it ends up, you know, going to court. And we'll be keeping a very close eye on that. But we don't know the facts really yet of what's gone on or what the evidence is that's led to this charge. But we do know he has been charged.
He has. It's interesting when you read the way that some of these statements have been worded. This is by the BBC. It said, when Mr. Murrell was arrested last year, police searched the house he shares with Ms. Sturgeon near Glasgow. What an odd way to describe the marital home, the house he shares with Ms. Sturgeon, and also the Scottish National Party or Nationalist Party headquarters in Edinburgh. The couple married in 2010. The house was sealed off with blue and white tape. While a tent was erected on the driveway, items were brought from the house to the tent where the BBC understands a vehicle was parked. I can remember this at the time. I think they were digging. It looked like they were digging up the garden. And I think I was joking at the time, saying, what are they looking for? Bodies? Or what if they pull out a skull from Sturgeon's back garden? And I know you shouldn't judge people by appearances, Gemma, but you know sometimes you look at people.
Sorry, yeah.
You just look at them, and I'm looking at a picture of these two together, okay? Nicola Sturgeon and Peter Murrell, and they look like they could get up to no end of shenanigans and skullduggery. They're an odd her. And I think I said this to you before, and don't ask me where this came from, but apparently there's some kind of weird picture of her hanging over the mantelpiece that he had commissioned as a Christmas present or some kind of weird birthday present. I think would speak volumes, but Merle certainly looks like he looks like a shady individual. But then again, who am I to talk? And so does little nippy Nicola. But interesting, the house that he shares with Ms. Sturgeon, not exactly how you would describe a happy, warm, cohabiting marriage, is it?
There has been a lot of gossip and speculation about the nature of their relationship, which I'm not going to go into here on TNT. We're not into that kind of news. No, just like the, you know, what kind of marriage is it? You know, yeah, is it a marriage of weird is one way of putting it, or you know, is it a marriage of convenience? I don't know. Some people who may be familiar with the term strawberry filter. I don't know if anyone knows what that means. I mean, it's certainly kind of it's akin to the word beard, you know, if you know what that means. It's about, is the relationship based on romance and passion, or is it based on something else? You know, nothing too nefarious, but it's like, what kind of relationship is it effectively? Is it one for the cameras? That's questions that some have asked. I don't know. And I did promise myself I'd go and try and find that portrait that you talked about, and I never did. So much like Rambo, I'll have to go and
keep looking. Or Rob Ross or whatever that guy is. Trust me, you'll never see these people the same again once you do a little bit of digging. So I'll try and find that story, but there's something to do with a picture he got of her that hangs above their mantelpiece or above the mantelpiece of some flat that she has. It's a little bit strange, let's just say, but she's very happy to have it hanging over the fireplace. So anyway, read into that one what you will, and I'm sure there's lots of people rushing for their computers right now, Googling strawberry filter and beard, all thanks to you. You're being very cryptic this morning, Gemma, and I'm sure a lot of research will be carried out over the weekend on that, along with, of course, Sturgeon and Merle up there in Scotland. Oh, hey, the new terrible accent. I just thought I'd finish in that one. So many thanks to you, as always, for all your input this week. It's been a blast, and no doubt more will be coming next week. Have a great weekend. Gemma Cooper, I've got to take a break now and welcome David Hamill onto the show. So stay tuned for more here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT. Sonia Poulton.
If the British courts take the USA's poor application seriously and extradite Julian Assange, they will almost certainly have blood on their hands. Those are my words, not Stella's, although I know she thinks the same. She said so. The court has refused to address the very credible evidence that the CIA planned to kidnap and assassinate Julian Assange. We should all remember this moment the next time the UK or the USA dare to claim we are a free society while lecturing other countries about their lack of press freedoms. Julian Assange has been denied his freedom for 15 years. The entire process has been his punishment.
Sonia Poulton on Today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Our next steps to space.
This time we go back to the moon to learn to live, to work, to invent, to create.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT, Today's News Talk. It is Friday, the 19th of April, 2024, and I'm happy to be joined here on this show anyway for the first time by David Hamill. David is part of the Football Index Action Group. I'm just getting this correct here. He's trying to coordinate the victims of the Football Index scandal in their fight for justice and recompense. This is another scandal, David. Maybe a lot of people aren't aware of it. It's starting to bubble up to the surface again, much like the post office scandal. A lot of people lost a lot of money off of the back of this Football Index shenanigans. Tell us a little bit about that and how you came to be sucked into it or involved in it yourself.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, so it's something that's been going on for 3 years now since the platform collapsed. So what Football Index was an online trading platform licensed and regulated by the Gambling Commission, which launched in October 2015. It gave users the ability to, I'll call them bets, but we'll get to that in a stage, to bet on the performance of footballers, initially just in the media. So they were, you know, media savvy footballers. David Beckham would have been a great example of someone who was always in the media, Harry Kane, England captain, etc. And then as the product evolved and more people got interested in it, it allowed people to actually get rewarded for players' on-field performance as well. The platform grew very quickly, and I actually joined it in 2018. It was marketed very aggressively. So John Motson, famous BBC commentator, was the voice behind it, which attracted me. Unfortunately, the product, I called it a bet. So how it worked was you had a three-year term for the players that you bought into. So you didn't own a share of a player. There was nothing tangible behind it. It was strictly they took money in, and then the winnings, a bit like a traditional bookmaker, would be funded from that. But it was unique, or certainly novel at the time, because normally gambling or betting is a one-time transaction. You bet on Grand National last week. If a horse wins, you win. If it fell at the first, you lose your entire stake. Because of the ability to earn dividends, as they were called, winnings over a three-year term, and you could win every day if your footballer was amazing, actually that would fall under the premise of the FCA. It's a financial services product, even though you're betting on football. So the FCA regulate things like climate and commodities, so it doesn't have to be a bank account or an ISA or a pension. But people did have the misconception they were investing in something that had protection. So a bit like your bank account, a bit like your ISA, a bit like your pension, in the unlikely event of the product provider, the operator collapsing, you were protected by the financial services compensation scheme. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, behind the scenes, what Football Index were doing were taking everyone's bets and aggressively spending it on marketing, promotion. They were a household name to a lot of people. They advertised on the front of championship football shirts. They were very aggressive in their marketing around perimeter advertising, and very aggressive in terms of promoting it on social media. Unfortunately, what they didn't do was provide enough cash to meet their obligations, i.e. these three-year terms. And by March 2021, despite the operator assuring what were now starting to be concerned customers of the operator that they'd never been in a stronger financial position, they actually effectively ran out of money in March 2021, and they're now in liquidation with, we're talking about pence in the pound, maybe 2, 3, 4 pence in the pound to be returned to creditors, which are mostly consumers like myself. Hopefully that gives a very brief explanation of what is quite a complicated case, but have you got any questions, or have I explained it correctly so far?
Yeah, that's great, because I think it's one of these things, David. It's important to highlight what's going on here, because it's like the post office scandal that happened. Well, it didn't happen recently. It was happening for a very, very long period of time, and a lot of people were absolutely stitched up through alleged accounting errors. Some people lost their businesses, their jobs, their health suffered. They died as a result of it. There's a lot of people that got embroiled in this football index business, and actually, you mentioned there as well. I did a little bit of research into this last night. I wasn't familiar with it to the extent that you are, but I think the Notts Forest at one stage had Football Index on the front of their jerseys. You talked about John Motson was the voice of this. And although it wasn't an investment type product, it was pretty aggressively marketed as an investment type product. But in reality, it was a gambling product, but a lot of people bought into it off the back of, for example, trusted people in the footballing industry that they would have listened to, like Motson, or followed football teams like Nottingham Forest, for example, and maybe didn't dig very deep when it came to finding out the minutiae of how this was actually set up. And now, unfortunately, a lot of people are left with 5- and 6-figure losses off of the back of this.
That's right. I mean, the terminology in the terms and conditions that the Gambling Commission were aware of at the time of licensing was very financial services orientated. So consumers were called traders. Your accumulation of bets was called a portfolio. Mm-hmm. There was dividends were winning. So very much, you know, the terminology you would attach to financial services product and traditional stocks and shares. So £124.5 million was the amount that was outstanding in open bets, contractual positions at the time of collapse. So that money was spent, and effectively there was, I think, less than £10 million left at the demise of the platform. It hasn't been recoverable, so the platform is not able to be relaunched in any form. And as I said, the liquidation is ongoing. It's been ongoing now for the best part of 3 years, and a minimal amount will be returned. Now, my argument is that this product should never have been regulated by the Gambling Commission and given a license because of the fact that it was so unique and so novel that they should have been referred back to the FCA. Mm. Now, rather than holding their hands up at the time of collapse and saying, you know what, we've made a mistake, let's put people back into the position they would have been if this mistake hadn't happened, i.e. the index had never been launched. The Gambling Commission have basically just tried to bury the information. They try to blame consumers for gambling too much. They have not been transparent and honest and open in terms of meetings that Football Index Action Group have had with the CEO, Andrew Rhodes, and in answers to me. And the worst thing about this was this, you know, was this was a shock and a surprise to consumers, but the Gambling Commission had actually been investigating Football Index behind the scenes for nearly 2 years because they had growing concerns about not just what they had licensed, i.e. it was a financial services product, but also the aggressive marketing, the terminology used, the unfair terms and conditions, and the lack of transparency around the odds and the pricing, etc. So the Gambling Commission were actively investigating Football Index even until the day it collapsed in March 2021. But they were also in regular and frequent contact with the FCA, who until even the day it collapsed, the FCA was still saying, yes, we should be regulating this product in some form, whether that's in its entirety or jointly with the Gambling Commission. And there are precedents for this. So if you are a sporting spread bet consumer, you would potentially have the protection of the FCA for gambles or positions that you take on in terms of spread bets because of the high risk nature. Football Index was very similar to that. It was a high risk product that was marketed as a safe and secure, almost like a bank account for your savings, and that wasn't the case. So what the Gambling Commission should have done when they became aware of this was, well, this isn't what we understood we licensed. We need to suspend this to protect as much consumers' money as possible. What they actually did was allow the operator to continue. And I would estimate in the nearly 2 years that they were investigating, possibly an additional £50 million was actually deposited by unsuspecting consumers.
So this was allowed to continue, even though there was huge red flags over the top of it. We've got to take a little headline break right now, David. Yeah. When we come back at the other side, I want to look at what the options are going forward for the people that are obviously out all this money. And also, it's worth noting here as well that there's a story you posted up, and you have a social media group, Group Action, at @FI_Action on Twitter X, that the Football Index co-founder Adam Cole is behind a strikingly similar new football crypto trading website. So the people that were behind this are still very much in operation in the UK at the minute. Maybe a little word of warning out there for anybody that maybe wants to delve into that one as well. So we'll do that when we come back after the short headline break here on TNT. Excellent. Today's talk.
Look forward.
Now.
News.
Big news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. Israel has launched a limited strike against Iran in response to its retaliatory airstrikes over the weekend. The Bank of America is warning a direct war between Israel and Iran could send oil prices soaring to $130 a barrel. Over 100 university students protesting Israel's war in Gaza have been arrested in dramatic scenes at a campus in New York. And South America's Argentina has applied to become a new global partner of NATO.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Okay, talking with David Hamill, live, uncensored, unscripted, and all that jazz here on TNT this morning, part of the Football Index Action Group, coordinating victims of the Football Index scandal, which we've been talking about during the first part of this conversation this morning in their fight for justice and recompense. So it looks pretty grim from what you've told me, 140 odd million outstanding. There was 10 million quid left over at the end. Notoriously, when these sort of things go pear-shaped, it can be very, very difficult indeed to get recompense from the people that are guilty of perpetrating allegedly these crimes. So some people like to think, well, there should be a fallback here on the financial services scheme, but they don't regulate this. So the Gambling Commission as well. Is there any type or any kind of prospect of getting redress from them, because I would say the chances of getting it back off the founders of Football Index would be pretty slim, David, or am I being pessimistic there?
No, you're right to be pessimistic. I don't think we'll see anything substantial out of the founders. I don't believe any funds were embezzled by them. I think it was just badly managed, and they had no financial control, and they just spent the money expecting the product to continue to grow, people like myself to continue to deposit, all new customers in the UK, and they kept promising international expansion. So, no. Is the straightforward answer to that one. The Gambling Commission has no protection. So once your bet is placed out of your online wallet, for example, it's deemed as funds at risk, and there's no scheme there. The FCA is different. There is the Financial Services Compensation Scheme that I mentioned, which is protection up to £85,000, which would protect the vast majority of Football Index consumers. There would be some who had, like myself, more than that in the platform. So my argument has been, you know, why should the taxpayer pick up the bill for this? Because it's not the taxpayer's fault at the end of the day. It's government's job to regulate. And I quote a Scottish MP, Ronnie Cowan, in that basis. And they delegate responsibility to the regulators. Now, the regulators don't cost the taxpayer any money. Okay, they're funded from license fees and application fees from either betting companies or financial services companies. And I put the blame on both regulators, the FCA and the Gambling Commission combined. They are actually a net contributor to the Treasury. So when banks and financial services companies misbehave, they are fined. And they are fined large sums. I think HSBC, NatWest, off the top of my head, have been fined hundreds of millions of pounds in the last few years since Football Index was formed. So I haven't had the chance to look at the figures, but when I spoke to Sonia Poulton back in January on this channel, something like 1.2 billion has gone into the Treasury from fines and settlements. So when the FCA and the Gambling Commission do a good job and crack down on uncompliant companies, the taxpayer benefits. It's therefore only fair that when the Gambling Commission and or the FCA make a mistake, which leads to a loss of money from hardworking UK taxpayers, you know, we all were in terms of the consumer base of Football Index, it's only fair there should be the ability for a redress scheme to be funded from those sources. So, yeah, £124.5 million was the sum outstanding in March 2021. I did a quick calculation this morning, actually, because obviously inflation will have eaten into the purchasing power of that. So it would now be, if we were to be fully redressed and our purchasing power kept up to speed with, you know, obviously the high inflation rates over the last 3 years, it'll be 160 million. I think it's still good value for taxpayers, and I think would set a precedent for future that consumers can go into either a gambling company or a financial services company and know that the regulator is cracking down on unscrupulous operators. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. But rather than protecting consumers, rather than holding their hands up and admitting to mistakes, what they've actually done is blame consumers and hide the truth.
Yeah, it seems to be the way of it. Like I said, David, hopefully maybe there's other people listening in here this morning that haven't been in contact with you yet that aren't aware of what the procedures are in this case. I would direct them your way because we're out of time in this one, as per night. So hopefully that's shed a little bit of light in this case for people that aren't aware of it, or maybe somebody could be listening in that maybe will be able to connect with you now and get some advice and steering from you and people that are going through this as well. So if you haven't done so, and if you use the X or Twitter platform in particular, you can check out the Football Index group action page at FI_action. So that's coordinating the victims of the FI scandal in the fight for justice and redress. So please go on there. And also, I believe you have a page on there yourself. Your own personal page is at ZIDave1, ZIDave1 as well. So you can contact Dave directly or through the group on there if you're affected by this. And just for anybody out there, you know, benefit, the hindsight's great. We've all made mistakes in the past that, looking back, we should have maybe paid a little bit more attention to. I'm not saying that you guys, you know, didn't pay attention to what was going on, but, you know, some people take a lot of things at face value. I used to work in financial services, and very much people bought, I was in a large multinational bank, you know, doing financial planning. So customers tend to look at you and take what you say and, you know, you could say, well, you need to make sure you read all the fine print, but many people don't do that. That's why they're like a Motson, for example, or the sponsorship with Knott's Forest could have maybe got a lot of people sucked into this. It's easy saying that with the benefit of the hindsight, but for anybody else out there, just take extra special care at this time, no matter what you're doing, because there's a lot of ways to be parted from your money at this point in time.
So sadly, yes.
Sadly, sad but true, Dave.
Sadly, yes.
So I appreciate you coming on this morning and giving us an update on that. And hopefully you can reach out to Dave if needs be, if you're in that position yourself. So big thanks to you. I've got to take a break right now. And you're welcome. Welcome Trevor John on after this short break here on TNT, today's news talk.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
My character Shazam knows all about growing up in a family full of teenage superheroes. They're bold.
Where's everyone going?
To fight crime.
Okay.
Adventurous.
Shazam!
There's never a dull moment. And no matter what happens, they'll always have your back. All they need is a place to grow and be themselves. And the best part is, you don't have to be a superhero to adopt a teen. Learn more about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
Yes, I've got the old second wind right now, and I don't mean flatulence. I mean, you know, a new lease, a new burst of energy, because my old friend Trevor John is in the house, the TNT Towers, if you want to call it that. I always round off my pretty much fourth Friday of the month talking to Trevor. You'll never see him on here, bar once. Came on a Thursday once to help me out of a hole. But generally speaking, he'll be the last person I talk to every fourth Friday. And I like it because I like to chill out and just chew the fat with you, Trevor. How you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, there's good. A lot going on in Trevor John Towers.
Go on then. Give us the down low or the D-low on that.
Oh, I've been doing a few collaborations with Mad Mick Chaves. I dragged him along to a open mic poetry event on Thursday night, and he absolutely killed it. But it's an interesting space because everything here is set up to be a duality and oppose and get triggered. But this is, it's a really magical space, this poetry event where she's a lady called Bernadette, and it's called Talking Rhythm. It's in Greenwich in an absolutely brilliant pub called the Prince of Wales. And it's on once a month. And it's a space where there's real, true diversity and freedom of speech. And it's such an incredible mix of, you get someone singing Hindu devotional songs. Mm-hmm. And then there's filthy Heather doing hilarious poems about someone having a wank behind a chimney, and then someone might, someone
as you,
else might.
As you do.
Well, yeah. But the end line of that is that it's all right. His boss didn't give a toss and told him he could just wipe the slate clean. So yeah,
Give me Filthy Heather's number. We'll have to get her on TNT, mate.
Oh no, she's absolutely hilarious, and she was the featured poet in this thing. And then you got someone doing really graphic poems about prostitution, and mm-hmm. you sometimes get very woke people there, and there was mm-hmm. a real royalist there, this guy that mm-hmm. And he's quite an angry royalist, and I did Not My King. And, you know, and he came up and we spoke, and it was fine. You know, it's a situation where you can air different views, and that's what life should be like, really. Mm, so, and Mick came along and absolutely killed it. He did Killer Killer COVID in a spoken word style, and it worked nice. Brilliantly. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds great, man. I mean, I think I told you this, but last summer I foolishly entered a poetry competition, okay? A poetry competition, because I'd been dabbling in a little bit of abstract noir poetry, you know, being that type of a person. And I put together what I thought was a fantastic piece, and it was damn good. But when I got there, you know, you pay your admission fee. They had to rent out this hall. It was part of a festival. So I didn't pay much attention to it. But the first thing they said was, okay, there's so many people here. You're going to have to do two poems. And it was like, well, you told me one. I've only brought one with me. No. And then it turned out to be three. And then there was a judging panel brought out. And let's just say they were of the blue hair variety. That's all I'm going to say about that one. And the people that ended up winning the little book tokens at the end, and it wasn't really about the winning. You know, one of them was just a mother who just wrote nonstop about how much she hated her children and breastfeeding, and she'd got fat since she became a mother and she hated it. And somebody else was, I don't even want to go into it, but I would have liked it if it had been like you just described, just a gathering of people with no pressure and no judging, just people getting up and sharing and then getting on afterwards. But once you start to introduce the competition element to it, it loses
I don't
its
get
taste
that.
A little bit. No,
I don't get that. They want to turn everything into a competition.
Yeah.
I don't know, from cooking to, you know, someone has to be chucked mm-hmm. off and going home.
Yeah.
It's not painting. It's nonsense. And mm-hmm. it's the opposite of what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Mick got me along to Comcast. You know that festival.
Yeah, the one that I can't manage to attend.
Yeah, so yeah, no, it was brilliant. So I played guitar for Killer Killer COVID with him on that, mm-hmm. and there's been some really nice videos coming back because they got the sound absolutely brilliant, which is a very rare thing for me. So that's good. So I've got some nice videos now of my stuff. And really? And then I got Mick was telling me about an Stand in the Park event in Carshalton where they were doing an outreach, and their kind of philosophy is that they're trying to sort of let people know what's going on and try and get people in and communicate with what you might call normies and not exclude people. And so I thought, yeah, maybe they need some music. So I got in touch with them. And it turned out to be in the middle of a field, and they didn't have any electricity. So, but because I was pulled to do it, I went out and bought a battery and an inverter so I could set up in the middle of nowhere and play. And I was thinking, this is a bit mad. I'm spending 300 quid to go and play in a field for nothing. And but as it happened, it was such a brilliant event. It was really fun, and the people really appreciated my stuff, which is always nice. And we had a lot of laughs. And then Mick put my video on his channel, and then producer saw it. And now, so the week after next, I'm in the studio with him.
That's brilliant.
So, which is good. And I got a gig with Mark Devlin. Mark Devlin's coming to speak. So. Now that 300 quid looks like an investment, a good investment. Yeah. And that's the way money works, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you hang on to it, money likes to move, and it's an energy that likes to move. So if you follow your excitement and use money for that, then in my experience, it comes back to you somehow. That's the way this realm works, I think.
That's cool. Especially, you know, it was because of you, actually, that I first contacted Mark Devlin, and we've had him on the show. That was going back about 2 years ago. I can remember you recommended some people to me. Charlotte Wright was another one. John Waters was another one. So you've kind of acted as one of my guest booking agents, de facto agents, over the last few years. But isn't it interesting, though, the way that you're now hooked up with Big Mick Chaves, who you weren't connected me through, but he's a regular in the show, and now somebody that he's a fantastic producer now wants to work with you as well. And by the way, I like to try and get you on so we can give you a little bit of promotion, because you write fantastic songs that never fail to put a smile on my face. But you've got an Instagram page, Trevor John Sings, and also a Telegram channel, Random Human Music. But you also have your stuff up on Spotify as well. And there's some absolute belters on there, Not My Kings, one in particular, Off You Pop, about eugenics and euthanasia is another one. And of course, Who Could Forget That's a Moron, which has never to this day left my head as I move to the other side someday, maybe shuffle off this mortal coil. I have no doubt that's a moron will be playing See Subconsciously. I'm speaking at immortality here, but it'll stick in my head for life. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to move kind of, I feel more and more pulled towards the kind of spiritual side of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing some songs in that vein. And, and so I'm working with Peter Conway, who's a big kind of spiritual singer. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I got him down to Talking Rhythm as well, and he absolutely blew the place apart. So I was already, he kind of expressed some interest to do a song I wrote called Truth, Freedom, Justice, Love, which came out of a Mark Devlin podcast, actually. I can't remember where I was going with that. But anyway, so I had this whole swathe of resistance songs that I was desperate to get recorded and just to kind of put them to bed. I mean, I've got a few others in my head. I ought to do a Moon one and a Ulez one, I think. But really wanted to get them recorded. So just like that, this kind of fell into my lap. And I've been talking to the producer, who is Martin Noakes, by the way. Mm-hmm. We are so on the same page. It's crazy. So I'm very excited about that.
Martin's an absolute gem. And actually, every time that Big Mick Chaves or Mad Mix Conspiracies has been on with me on Locked and Loaded, he always travels to Martin's studio, and the broadcast is always done from Noakes' studio, believe it or not. So there you go again. So again, I don't think you had connection with Mick before you came on TNT. Or maybe
I've seen
you
him around, but... Yeah,
he'd been around. He's hard to miss
him.
Hard to miss him with his big pink hoodie on, saying, "What is it? Pretty, pretty and strong,
absolute
legend, Mick Chaves." Yeah. But you know, it's good to hear that that you're getting more breaks. Not just for you, because obviously then people are going to hear the songs. And you know me, I'm a big believer in music and laughter. I believe it's medicinal. I believe it can lift us out of dark places. And hell, Trevor, we've been through those dark places over the years.
Oh,
and what I would say to you as well is, I've noticed, and you can give me your thoughts on this one, you're doing more music festivals at the minute. I noticed I was doing some promotion earlier on today. There's two coming up actually in May, just for example, both up in the Lake District. There's one, the Weekend Truth Festival's happening on 3rd to the 5th of May, Lake District. And then another one, Stand in the Park and Light Paper getting together to do Stand in the Light Music Festival.
Yeah.
So there's more events happening, or at least the frequency of these events seems to be increasing, and the popularity of them seems to be increasing. Do you think we're moving back to the way things were pre-scandemic level? Because that did knock the wind out of a lot of people's sails, and a lot of venues closed down that people may have played gigs in because of financial, you know, destruction that happened after the lockdowns. Do you think we're getting back towards the way things were pre-2020?
I don't think it's ever going to go back, but I wouldn't want it to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think said you don't topple a system by resisting it. You topple a system by creating something better and making it irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going on, hopefully, as long as people don't slip back into some... I mean, if people are doing things with the right heart, I think. I mean, most of the people I come across that are... running these festivals are all doing it with a good heart, which is quite different to how festivals are run generally, I think. Yeah. So, I wouldn't want it to go back, but there's more excitement now and there's more activity for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think what it's done is it has galvanized a lot of people together. I mean, it's strange that I'm talking to you still after, what, 2 odd years, 2 years and 3 months. You've been coming on the show now since pretty much it launched back in February of 2022, I think, was the first time you came on. And we've been talking periodically ever since it. And with the benefit of hindsight, looking back, you know, things were a lot darker back then when you first started coming on here. In fact, I think one of the first conversations we ever had, you were saying, you know, I'm questioning the way I look at the world right now. I'm questioning spirituality. I'm questioning my outlook in life. I think, I can't remember how it was you described yourself, some kind of weird off-the-cuff atheist type person who was starting to become a little bit more grounded in the possibility of good and evil. Along those lines, I'm paraphrasing, but have I got it almost right?
I woke up on the 1st of January 2020 thinking I was a socialist atheist.
Right.
Which is quite hilarious now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so far away from that, it's not true.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Using time, that short space of time, as a yardstick. And even me, I mean, I go for the last 3 years, my outlook on a lot of things has changed in life. My priorities in life have changed an awful lot.
Yeah.
I believe that we can invest too much time and energy on things that we can't actually really affect. We should be investing more time and energy in ourselves and the people directly around us. And I think that's why maybe, I wouldn't want to say you're very successful at the minute, but you're certainly striking a chord, no pun intended, with people, because you're doing a lot more physical events. It's not just an internet thing you do. You're not just doing Zoom concerts. You're not just doing a YouTube channel. You're actually getting out there and mixing with people, interacting with people on a personal level. And I think that's the most powerful weapon we have.
It's vital. And when you look at all the digital online stuff, it's a trap. I mean, it was always a trap. Blockchain, the internet, it's a spider's web. I mean, Huxley, I've got a quote here from Huxley saying, technological progress has merely provided us with the more efficient means of going backwards. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the way, did you see that Will Smith thing that was saying what is real? They're undermining our very notion of what we can trust. But it's all the digital stuff, and with the Kate Middleton thing as well, where they're saying you can't trust anything and you can deep fake anything so much that the only way you can trust anything is by having a digital ID online. They're gradually moving us forwards to that. And Aldous Huxley, by the way, was a student of Ouspensky and Gurdjieff, who I study with the Inner Guardians. And he seems to have been behind this whole thing, or a big player in it anyway. So, I'd like to put a shout out to Sheep Farm, who are doing a very interesting sort of deep dive into Huxley at the moment. So sheepfarm.co.uk, go and have a look at that, because it's, brilliant.
They have a YouTube channel as well. Is that the Sheep Farm Boys? You've told me about those guys.
The Sheep Farm Boys, they're fantastic. They buck the trend of never meet your heroes, as do you, Rick.
We haven't met me yet, so don't doubt.
It's been on the cards twice,
but it hasn't actually happened. Maybe that's why. I don't want to burst your bubble, you know?
Oh, I tell you another really amazing bit of synchronicity was, so I went and played in this field to these people for nothing. And the guy that was the master of ceremonies there just happened to be the author of the next book I'm about to read, which is called Green in Tooth and Claw. I mean, isn't that weird? It's the one that was sitting by my bedside table.
I'll tell you a little book synchronicity story as well. I have a guest that comes on here. She's been coming on from the start, Karen Hunt. She's based in California, but she's in New York now. But her dad, unbeknownst to me, was a great Christian author from the 70s and the 80s. His name was Dame Hunt, and he wrote a fantastic book called Cults and the Occult that I bought when I was about 17, 18 years of age, and my daughter's reading it right now. And then she happened to mention that her dad had passed away and he was an author. I said, who was he? And I said, no way. I said, I've just handed my daughter one of your late father's books. And who would have thought when I bought it, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, that my daughter would be reading it and I would be talking to his daughter live on an internet radio station. So yeah, there's a lot of strange synchronicity going on at the minute, Trevin.
She's a boxer, isn't she?
She's founded a boxing academy for girls in Egypt, and she travels the world. She's a fantastic writer, by the way. She's got a great Substack page, khmizik.substack.com. So I'm trying to plug you here, but Karen has to get an honourable.
She's fantastic.
She's brilliant, man. She's brilliant. Yeah. But her dad was a fantastic writer. In fact, that book that he wrote, Cults and the Occult, you would love it. Actually, I'll see if I can get a copy of it and get it over to you. But listen, the music's playing, and it's not the Police or U2, unfortunately for you. That means we've got to wrap this one up. But Trevor, check him out at Trevor John, Random Human Music on Telegram, Trevor John Sings on Instagram, or look up Trevor John on Spotify, and please follow him for details of any gigs he may be doing. So Trev, we've got to wrap it up. Hope you have
an
epic weekend, mate, and we'll talk again sooner rather than later. I'm Rick Munn, this is TNT. I'm over and out. I'll be back on Monday, maybe, but have a good weekend wherever you are. I'm out of here.